from all of us here, have a merry, merry Christmas. 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
We don't feel comfortable about something in Abuja. We have the right to hear this.
Because I'm a visitor here in Abuja.
Why is it that they are
always
Abuja?
What's happening in Abuja?
I tell safety and police to go there and organize
them. I just come back now. I'm on Katampe Station Bridge. I want to run through inside Gwarimpa to go.
What's happening in Abuja? What's happening? 9:30 to 12 p.m. Live on 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
A pleasant morning to you from the news desk of 95.1 Nigeria Info. This is the Major News Bulletin 4-7. First, a look at our major stories. PSC says Nigeria will no longer accept short shelf life COVID vaccines. INEC again calls on President Buhari to sign Electoral Act Amendment Bill into law. Federal government says Nigeria will have widest 5G coverage in Africa, widest 5G coverage in Africa by 2022. And Amazon criticized over safety at tornado hit warehouse. The details and much more coming up shortly. Your health is priceless. Maintain high personal and environmental hygiene. Now the news in detail. The Presidential Steering Committee, PSC, on COVID-19 on Monday announced that Nigeria will no longer accept vaccines with short shelf life as it mounts undue pressure on health workers to administer them. The announcement follows the expiration of 1 million doses of COVID-19 vaccine. Executive Director of the National Primary Healthcare Development Agency, NPH, CDA, Dr. Faisal Shuaib, made the disclosure in Abuja at an emergency media briefing by PSC on COVID-19. The PSC also disclosed that over 10 million vaccines with short shelf life received free of charge have been administered so far in the country. Dr. Shuaib said over a million of the expired vaccines, which had already been withdrawn, would be destroyed publicly by the National Agency for Food, Drugs and Administration Control, NAFDAC, in line with environmental protocols at a date yet to be decided. In politics, the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, says fresh registration in the ongoing Continuous Voter Registration, CVR, has hit 4,681,206 as at 7 a.m. Monday, December 13. The commission disclosed this in its weekly update for quarter 2, week 10, on the CRV released on Monday in Abuja. The commission disclosed that 922,188 registrations were done online and 1,306,805 were physical registration. The update indicated that 1,124,294 of the persons were male, while 1,104,699 are female, adding that 21,910 of the figure are persons living with disability. The update also shows that INEC has received 7,489,666 applications, including those for voter transfer, requests for replacement of permanent voter's card, PVCs, update of voter information record. The commission disclosed that 4,005,177 of the applications were from male, 3,484,489 from female, and 78,415 are people living with disabilities. Similarly, the Independent National Electoral Commission, INEC, has again called for the immediate signing of the Electoral Act Amendment Bill. The agency's chairman in charge of Information and Voter Education Committee, Festus Okoye, made the call on Monday at the stakeholders' forum organized by the Civil Society Situation Room in Abuja. Okoye noted that if the bill is not signed into law on time, it will jeopardize the smooth operations for the 2023 general elections.
And then we have
have the ACC Greater Kasu elections on the 12th of February, and then we have the APC and other governorship elections in June and July. So we need to have a goal on the new electoral level framework, and so that we can begin to prepare, we can begin to do procurement, and we can also begin to design our guidelines and our regulations before we get too close to the 2023 elections.
In an earlier remark, the Executive Director of Policy and Legal Advocacy Center, PLAC, Dr. Clement Wankwo, called for courts and judicial officers to be accountable so as to avoid fictitious rulings or verdicts.
The courts have to go back to the drawing table. The chief judge of this country, the chief judge of the federal high court, has the responsibility to bring to account judges who take on cases that are not their cases. Because I have no understanding how you can take a case involving a governorship election of primary in Anambra State to Kebbi State, and a judge would dare to take on a case.
The chairman of Southern Senators Forum, Senator Okpeyemi Bamidele, says he's not disturbed over the mode of primaries that will be adopted by the All Progressive Congress, APC, in selecting its flag bearer. Senator Bamidele made his position known on Monday when he hosted a group of Ekiti concerned professionals in his office in Abuja. The lawmaker, who had received a 22.5 million naira check from the group to support his 2022 gubernatorial ambition, said he has all the experience to govern Ekiti State.
I have no doubt that whether it is direct primaries or it is indirect primaries, I stand a good chance by the grace of God to win the primaries. I know that I am loved by the people of Ekiti State. I know that my own aspiration goes beyond pasting posters. I'm looking forward to a very decent governorship race, a race that is driven by ideas and issues, and a race that is violence-free.
Leader of the group, Lekan Ajusafe, said their donation is an expression of their belief on its capacity to make Ekiti great.
We believe it's high time Ekiti presents its best product and also puts its best foot forward. We look at this gubernatorial contest that is coming. We don't want an unpopular candidate. We don't want anyone that will come and rule the state trying or experimenting. So we want a tested hand. That's why we all put our resources together to buy this nomination form and present it to distinguished Senator Kwemi Bamidele.
Meanwhile, Senator Bamidele had also notified the senators elected on the platform of his intention to contest the 2022 governorship election in Ekiti State. Moving on now, President of the Senate, Ahmed Lawan, says the National Assembly required full complement of relevant institutions and agencies to deliver on its constitutional mandate. Senator Lawan made the remark as a guest lecturer at the first Distinguished Parliamentarians Lecture Series 2021, which was facilitated by the National Institute for Legislative Democratic Studies, NILDS. He spoke on the legislature, legislative mandate, the people, the reality, and the public perception. The Senate President said the support of other institutions like the National Assembly Service Commission, NASC, the job of legislation would be made easier.
The budget of the National Assembly appears grossly inadequate, given its mandate, membership, the scope of operations and agencies under it. For instance, the Assembly will require additional billions of naira if its core committees are to effectively undertake oversight functions, including visits, as mandated in the Constitution and the standing orders. Interestingly, the budget of the National Assembly not only constitutes a fraction of the federal government budget, but it is also significantly lower than allocations to other sectors that get even less attention.
Senator Lawan said the focus of the 9th Assembly had been on legislations that were most likely to impact either on the democratic institutions, economy, security, or the livelihood of Nigerians. In other matters, the chairman, National Population Commission, NPC, Nasser Issa Kwara, says constant and timely dissemination of information is integral for successful population management. He said this on Monday at the opening ceremony of a capacity-building workshop for public affairs officers in Abuja with the theme Getting the People Involved. Issa Kwara explained that the workshop, which is aimed at energizing the information machinery of the commission, will also ensure broad-based national support and cooperation for the implementation of the activities of the NPC ahead of the 2022 census. while noting that the workshop is expected to identify critical stakeholders and devise strategies for their engagement in implementing the Commission's activities. Kwara expressed confidence that the skills and knowledge acquired from the workshop will place NPC public affairs officers in key positions to function effectively.
And now the business news.
Minister of Communications and Digital Economy Professor Issa Pantami on Monday gave the assurance that by 2022 Nigeria would have the largest fifth generation 5G coverage in Africa. Pantami stated this at the auction of the 3.5 gigahertz GHz spectrum organized by Nigerian Communications Commission NCC in Abuja. Two telecommunication companies are expected to emerge as winners after the auction of the 3.5 gigahertz spectrum. The minister noted that 5G would solve some of the security challenges in the country since the technology provides real-time services and platforms. He noted that the National Frequency Management Council, NFMC, would ensure that the required spectrum for 5G standard was made available in the most timely manner.
And now we bring you news from around the world.
News from around the world.
Amazon is facing questions over health and safety policies at a warehouse in the U.S. state of Illinois after six workers died when the building was destroyed by a tornado. Sister to one of the victims on social media said it never would have happened if they cared about lives over productivity. The company says its team had worked quickly in response to the tornado. The roof collapsed as the storm hit the warehouse on Friday. An Amazon spokesperson, Kelly Nantel, in a statement said, the company is deeply saddened by the deaths.
Take it away with the entertainment news.
Kim Kardashian is one step closer to her dream of becoming a lawyer after revealing she has passed a key law exam on her fourth attempt. The reality TV star and businesswoman posted the news on social media, urging fans never to give up on goals they have set their mind on. 41-year-old Kardashian has spent years advocating for criminal justice reform, including lobbying at the White House. She announced in 2019 that she wanted to go further and qualify in law. Without an undergraduate degree, she has been studying on an alternative apprenticeship pathway under the supervised mentorship of lawyers. Kardashian said she had been previously told that her journey would be close to impossible and harder than the traditional law school route. But an excited announcement on Monday, Kardashian said she had passed California's first-year law student's exam, also known as the baby bar, on her fourth attempt.
And now, updates on the sports news.
And finally, the new draw for the last knockout stages of the UEFA Champions League. We now see title holders Chelsea play French side Lille. A technical problem caused an error in the initial draw, which UEFA said had been declared void. Premier League champions Manchester City face Portugal's Sporting Lisbon, while six-time winners Liverpool takes on three-time winners Inter Milan. Manchester United face Spanish champions Atletico Madrid. In the standout tie of the round, 13-time champions Real Madrid come up against French powerhouse Paris Saint-Germain. And that's a wrap for news at 7, but a quick look at our top stories. PSC says Nigeria will no longer accept short shelf-life COVID vaccines. INEC again calls on President Buhari to sign Electoral Act Amendment Bill into law. Federal government says Nigeria will have widest 5G coverage in Africa by 2022. And Amazon criticized over safety at tornado-hit warehouse. And that's the news. It's edited by Abayomi Akimbola. Don't forget, you can always send us eyewitness reports as news breaks in your area. Send your information to 090-385-1885. Follow us on Instagram at Nigeria Info FM Abuja, Facebook at Nigeria Info Abuja. Visit our website www.nigeriainfo.fm or visit Google Play Store for our mobile app. Thank you for listening. I am Joy Eberebe. Yeah.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info,
your mic is always on. Let's talk.
Great talk show unravels your thinking, makes you stop to listen, engages you in a debate of opinions.
I believe this man knows what he is doing. He is a Nigerian.
And ultimately brings you to the king of talk radio, Femi D. Live. Now we're back on the Morning Crossfire. 95.1 with Femi D Live, Nigeria Info, Abuja. Let's talk.
It's 7:16 a.m. Nigerian time. This very lovely morning. Where are you? What are you up to? Well, thanks for joining in. This is Morning Crossfire. So much to cover. Some of the stories making the headlines and giving us good reason to talk about what the year will look like in the year 2022. Well, today is December 14, 2021. Top stories now. UK records first Omicron death. EFCC bars on vaccinated staff. That's also part of the headlines. Controversy trails Akode's account of Shibaja's emergence as VP. Remember, Bisi Akode has been speaking extensively about the political journey of the All Progressive Congress. Some say his account is not accurate. Some say he's saying just too much with regards to this. Now, Nigerians to pay more tariffs and more taxes and tariffs, says federal government. That's a statement made by the Minister of Finance, Budget and National Planning, Zainab Ahmed. Also follow through with other stories this very morning. You would also want to follow through with some of the stories as we have it here and now. Ramaphosa continues to be under COVID treatment, and yes, President Muhammadu Buhari has extended his greetings to the South African president. Stop bringing Nigerians to our country, United Arab Emirates tell foreign airlines. MTN Mafab wins 5G licenses. $273.6 million is the amount the deed win using. Gunmen kill 9, injure 4 in persons, injure 4 persons in Plateau. That's according to the police. And then you'd also find of interest as well. Federal government states must address brain drain in health sector. That's also making the rounds of the stories for today. Gunmen break into Adamawa Hospital, abduct doctor. And yes, you also find of interest this morning stories on Police Affairs Minister says why Buhari cannot visit families and states affected by banditry. Okay, this is the main more part of the stories that there are to track down. Let's keep up with you now. Your contribution as we have it via the telephone lines and also through the WhatsApp portal. Remember to follow through with our editorial guide. Yes, please do. No hate speech, no lies, no fake news, no abuses on the show. Okay, be objective and truthful. Let's hear from you as much as we can this very morning on Morning Crossfire. Thanks for joining in and welcome to the show.
Yeah, family, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Yeah, this is Ekwazu King.
All right, yes, this is much better. I can hear you now.
Okay, thank you. This affair minister, see, if you stop telling us this thing, we don't want to hear. If Buhari care about his citizens, Buhari will go and visit the victims of bandits. Many attacks have been going on in Niger State, Kaduna, Zamfara, Sokoto, Taraba, them, all of them. Almost all the states in the north, insecurity are ravaging, banditry are everywhere, attacking and killing people every day in a daily basis. And you said you will not go and visit them because you don't have us, you don't have our interest in your heart. Don't even come. We will use our tears to cry and then still use our clothes to clean our tears. No problem. We don't want him to even come. It's on his own. 2010. A little boy of 10 years from Egypt died. He was killed in Spain. Their president left Egypt and went to Spain to seek justice for this little boy. Only one person, one soul. And we have been dying here every day. You don't want to come and say, yeah, you get why? Don't come. We okay. don't want him.
All right, thank you.
Why he's not doing well, and he's not doing well.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Akwa Pekin. And I'm really even more concerned. I mean, at what the president said at the recent ECOWAS meeting, one of the things he talked about, I mean, no, not the ECOWAS meeting, his response to the editorial published by people, where the presidency, through the service of Garba Shehu, talked about the fact that there are other African countries also going through the same insecurity and our situation is not exclusive. And it was, I mean, I don't know, I just find it a little bit disturbing when one level of disaster is being compared it's being compared with another level of disaster. It gives me some reason to worry. Yes, just to worry. Good morning to you. Okay, good morning to you.
Nothing breaks the news like the news.
Welcome to the show. What's your name, sir?
I greet you. This is Comrade Osimanyemeji from Kubwa.
Let's talk.
Just coming out from the police station.
Hmm.
Yes. Somebody said that Nigeria would have been in flame if Jonathan did not hand over.
Okay, so Austin, you might just turn down your radio. I can hear you like twice. I don't know.
Okay. Yes. How is it now?
I can still hear you, a few times.
Uh-huh. Hello?
Yes, go on.
Okay. Somebody said that Nigeria would have been in flame. Of course, who did not know that? Who knows what is going on? But to God be the glory, he is Jonathan, the wisest man. He handed him over the power. Today, where are we? And this constant disobedience to a court order by the security agents and those in government, the Attorney General of about Nnamdi Kanu, allowing him to have his rights while he is in illegal detention. IDSS. Hello, Femidi.
I'm listening to you.
I want people who doesn't like Igbos, who hate IPOP, who doesn't want to hear about Nnamdi Kanu. Is it right what the DSS is doing? You know, if this guy die in this illegal detention, you know the consequence. Let them obey the court order. And respect is right. Let me stop here.
All right. Thank you. Moving on. Good morning to you.
Hello, Femidi. Good morning this morning.
Yes. How are you today?
I'm fine. My name is Emmanuel Ochari for the Freedom Wheeler, and I'm willing for the seat of Talakati in Malaba.
All right. Welcome to the show.
All right. Tell me, we heard that the taxes will be increased next year. Yeah, it's part of those things. I think the government is doing good. It is well. One of the most important parts of this government that I actually appraise on them is the fact that we pay the taxes. There will be need for PDP and APC to show their membership card before payment. I think we all pay together. So long as this government have not separated any Nigerian from the other, we go to police station, all of us pay together without knowing the party, the differences in party, differences in religion and tribe. I think the president will do well. I don't want anybody to criticize Mr. President. He's doing well. Because when some of us said we are giving the name Yeli Wela, the Yela Welas are now silent and losing their voices every day. Thank you.
All right, thank you for your time as well. Okay, well, interesting point of view you do all have with regards to this. I'm going to go on a break in the next 60 seconds. But before then, let me read some of the messages we do have with us here. Good morning, Femdi. I am Akuruga Moses from Ajo. Femdi, if you're making money from taxable sources and not paying taxes, you're unpatriotic. You're unpatriotic now, person. Don't use spurious employment to intimidate government not to collect taxes. It goes on to say, and then to collect dues, please. Those who use social media for commercial services should be prepared to pay taxes. It's the same as operating a physical shop in the market. One thing, sir, it's very uncharitable and insulting to somebody that does not reason well before commenting on an issue just because he or she does not toe your line of reason or holds a different opinion. That you host shows on the radio station doesn't make you an authority in the all areas of determinant of how people should think or reason. Well, thanks, Akuruga Moses, for your views, but those are my views, and I've said it clearly, and I asked a simple question about, so are they non-Nigerians? Are they also not supposed to pay taxes? Are they paying taxes? On what grounds do they get to pay taxes? Those are questions you want to answer, but who knows what? I'm already getting used to people with all kinds of mindsets calling in onto this station. It's the price. Stop with me. Let's go on the break, and then we'll come back and talk more. Thanks, for being here.
Now we're back on the Morning Crossfire.
From your number one talk news and sports station, this is the Morning Crossfire
with Femi D Live.
It's 7:32 a.m. Nigerian time. Thanks for your time. Let's keep up with some of the analysis and the stories, and also this segment of the show is where we're going to what we call the lead. Oh yes, the lead is where I lead you to listen to what some of the newsmakers, the people who made the headline, what did they actually say, and what was their opinion of some of the things that they, well, they were feeling unwell about, but now they look like they're well, so that they're doing tongue outs to some of the stories as we have in the news. Well, let's find out for you. The Inspector General of Police, Usman Akali, has been talking about how we may, well, still express more security challenges than ever before. He wants us to be practical, pragmatic, and listen close. Well, listen to him yourself and his thoughts about the security situation in the country as we have it now.
Parallel to note that upcoming year could even be more challenging. This is because it is a year preceding the general election in the country, and hence it is anticipated that the political landscape will be charged in a manner that will further test our professional will and our professional confidence. When this translates, what this translates is that we will not only be dealing with traditional crime, our capacity as the lead agency in international security management will no doubt be stretched out to cover management of threats that will be associated with an active political space here in 2022.
The police chief also.
And we're back to the Morning Crossfire on your number one news, talk, and sports station, Nigeria Info.
So that pretty much makes up what the Inspector General of Police is saying. Okay, so it's similar to what the Chief of Army Staff also did say when I played it for you yesterday, where he talked about, yes, in all sense of it, in all reality, there's more work to be done. The commanders should take charge of the operations, do much more. That was what the Chief of Army Staff was talking about yesterday. And now the Inspector General of Police is also saying there'll be more security challenges than we have now. I'm surprised. Did anybody pick up on what happened in Adamawa State? That story I did mention in Adamawa State, where it's shocking to know that gunmen did break into a Adamawa hospital and then did abduct the doctor. I'm still trying to understand how this pretty much plays out. But according to much of the story, if I follow through with what the Vanguard, I beg to say, the Daily Trust is reporting about this. This happened at 6 p.m. Shortly after people had observed the Maghrib prayer. He said that according to the source, they said the gunmen stormed the hospital shortly after Maghrib prayer and shot into the air to scare people away. They then went into Dr. Siaidu Bala's office and took him away. The operation was so fast that it was conducted in less than 5 minutes. And then the Adamawa State Police spokesman, DSP Sulaiman Ngoroje, confirmed the incident to Daily Trust, saying officers had been deployed to track down the attackers and rescue the victim. He said our men found 3 used bullet canisters at the scene of the crime, and we have immediately deployed men of anti-kidnapping squad to rescue the abducted medical practitioner. So that pretty much puts things in perspective. Are they still unknown gunmen or gun unknown men? Categorizations evade me this day and age, but that pretty much lets you know how things are going in different parts of the country even now. All right. Now, of interest as well is another story. The APC seduced Nigerians in 2015, says the PDP chairman, Ayu. He was speaking at the inauguration, after inauguration as the PDP chairman. There was a meeting about it. Take a listen to his thoughts about this. You find it interesting. His own analysis of the political landscape as we have it now.
We are not only the fastest growing economy in Africa, but also the biggest economy on the continent. From the biggest economy in 2015, the APC has driven the country through recessions and turned Nigeria into the poverty capital of the world. Today, close to 40 million Nigerians have no jobs. In the last 6 years, the APC-led government has mismanaged our diversity. divided the country along regional and religious lines. It has exacerbated religious tensions in the country. And through its marriage to nepotism, the incompetent APC federal government is fueling secessionist agitations in the east and west of the country. Your Excellency, Party President, very distinguished ladies and gentlemen, our dear Nigeria is drifting dangerously towards a failed state. Terrorists are now sharing sovereignty with Nigeria. Nigeria is simply ungoverned. Nigeria is collapsing under the leadership of the retired general. The APC used both the mainstream media and the social media to access power. Today, it coordinates a systematic assault on the media, civic freedoms, and freedom of speech. Let me give you the grim legacy of the APC. 2 economic recessions in 6 years. A strong peace.
This is Morning Crossfire. He goes on and on and on. The PDP chairman, with regards to the state of things as we have it, or as easily as I will call it, the state of the nation. Hold on for a moment. I'm thinking in my head, and I don't know if you're with me on this. Just because somebody is saying a popular truth, now, what follow my words, a popular truth, meaning something that is popular with the population, or possibly popular with the crowd, or a version of the truth, or some ideology that may sound acceptable to a good number of people, just because somebody is saying a popular truth, does that make them some sort of savior? I think that's some mistake we've made in elections so far. Just because somebody is speaking right or wrong, or we think he's speaking right or wrong, or he's speaking supposed truth that sits well with some people or some class of people, some electorates, does that make them some sort of savior? Do we often mix up the people who are in claim truth speakers with the people who are saviors? Some sort of electoral savior, no? Does that make them electable? Oh, yes. Does that make them electable? When you speak certain things that are popular with the people, does that make you electable? Does that make you a savior? Does that make you popular enough to say, well, maybe because you know what there is about this, we could as well say, you know what the solution could be? Think about it. I can throw in some names into this, not just the PDP, because there are quite a number of people who have been quite outspoken in Nigeria in the last 6 years or thereabout, even longer than that, who have been critical of every government back and forth, irrespective of whether it's the PDP or APC. Should I give you an example? Former President Olusegun Obasanjo has been both critical of the PDP at some point in time and critical of the APC at some point in time. Just depends on what he sees and what he perceives as the situation of the day. So he gets to criticize and say, well, this is the truth of the matter according to what I see. But does that make him have some sense of, oh, okay, I do have what it takes, or if he was running for office, I do have what it takes to do this. Similarly, with somebody like the governor of Benue State, he's been very critical of the current administration, saying, well, they've not come to the aid or to save Benue State in the very daring and daredevil situation that's going on in that state. And he's been very critical of it. And some people at some point in time ask the question about, so what are you doing for your state yourself every time you're criticizing the federal government about not coming to salvage the security situation within your state? So what are you doing for your state yourself? And you're responding with some ideas of, oh, I'm going to get the vigilante groups and the likes of that. But it's been very, very clear as regards what he thinks should be done. Does that make him electable or savior-like mentality, similarly to Yahya Bello, who has his own version of the truth as well, with regards to how well the president has performed, and the people who are talking about the president not performing and not being sincere with regards to the achievement thus far. Should I go on and give you more examples? Oh, I do have the likes of Governor Yesom Wike somewhere in my head as well. It could easily make up the list of people who seem to have some version of the truth that's popular enough with the people. But does that make them electable in some sense of it? You know the names. You know a lot of people who, what they say, how they say, when they say it, you know, makes everybody, you know, go around and say, well, this is interesting. You have the likes of the former deputy governor of the CBN as well, also analyzing the state of governance and corporate governance in Nigeria, and you know, his own ideas as regards how things go. Patrick Tommy, you have Atairu Jagao as well. You name it, across the board, those who belong to a political party, those who don't belong to a political party, with ideas of, and well, popular truth, as one would say, popular enough with some people, like I said, that's the times and condition I'm saying that with, popular with some people, but ideally, does that make them, savior-like, electable-like, or with electable ideas? I think we should, that's my question for today, by the way. So that's my question of 2021 for today. We're in part three now. So that's my question of the day. If you have good ideas or with the popular truth, does that put you in a position to have electable ideas, savior-like idea mentality? I know some people are making up a list of people in their mind as I speak of who they think could possibly, you know, salvage such a situation. And think that, well, maybe things could be different if this person, if we just listen to this person long enough, some ideas around this would be good. In the meantime, then River State, the governor of River State, Jason Wike, sacked his commissioner on his birthday for hosting a medical event without government permission or approval. Okay, Jason Wike had this to say about that situation.
It's in each of central districts. Where we need it. It's not possible. And already we are acting up our administration. Nursing is not a major year for project. It's a political So if anybody tells you, if I go and tell governors, it is not possible. I don't want to play politics with you. So my concern is that you should also work knowing our system, how it operates. It's unfortunate that people don't understand how government is supposed to be. It's good, but it should be on time. You know, it should be on time. We have zonal, what do you call it? Zonal that were almost, it just started, we did not start it. It was started by my predecessor, you know. We have finished the one of Mburi, the one of Digimus also almost finished. We have the one in the Eche and Amoda, and then Omoko. To finish it is not easy. Where would it be? The funds are not there. That's why we said federal government should reduce their influence. Allow states to utilize some of the resources in order to develop their states. And when you say that, someone will begin to bring a sentiment. Politics to the voting. When the issue of bad names, that's why it's there. The push of everything is contrary, is ethnicity, religion. And that's why we're not going anywhere.
This is Morning Crossfire.
Okay, let me push a little further. Let's go to the book called Reflections. It's a book written by the governor of Imo State now. Governor Uzodinma, yes, he's been reflecting on the situation in the southeast and, yes, providing them preferred solutions as well. Alongside with some other, you know, major leaders in the southeast, he had this book presentation where there was a lot said about him and the concept around the book. So I'm going to just go and glide through some of the parts of what he reflected on and his ideas around this. Take a listen to this.
And in the north, the political practitioners, if they grab a copy of this book and read it, the political temperature of the country will cool down. We shall do the right thing. They will do the right thing. On behalf of myself and my family, we are going to book for 3,000 of these books.
Okay. And then another part.
This is Morning Crossfire.
currency which their countries enjoy today. In Nigeria, our late friends, Dr. Nnamdi Azikiwe, Ahmad Bello, and Obafemi Awolowo, they stand tall as leaders whose thoughts helped to shape the original federal project that gave birth to an independent Federal Republic of Nigeria. As Frank Fanon will put it, each generation must act of relative obscurity, discover its mission, and try to fulfill it or betray it. In this respect, my well-considered view is that the challenge of our generation of Nigerians is to reinvent a model of democracy that will offer each federating unit a holistic sense of belonging, seasoned by equality, justice, and the rule of law. This task is urgent because it seems obvious that the original federal project conceived by our forefathers and secured by them has become weak and should therefore be strengthened to be efficient and functional. For Ndebo, the challenge of our generation is to insist on our inalienable birthright as citizens of Nigeria who must coexist with other ethnic nationalities as equal partners. A united, strong, and prosperous Nigeria. This is the rationale for my book that has just been presented to you. It is my own modest contribution on how the Igbos can overcome the existential challenges facing them today in Project Nigeria. This accounts for the sense of fulfillment and joy that I derive from the presentation of this historic book today, titled Reflections on the Igbo Question. The book essentially puts together my thoughts on the Igbo question as expressed at different fora over a period spanning over 80 years. This explains the title, Reflection on the Igbo Question. I consider its publication to be part of my responsibility to not just Ndi Igbo, but Nigerians in general. One thing stands very clear. The consistency of my views on the subject matter, which were expressed before I became the governor of Imo State. These views can be aptly summarized in two themes. Igbos have not had a fair deal from Project Nigeria since the end of the Civil War.
And that makes up a part of what was said. Okay, so I'll do all I can to also play the concluding part of that later on as we go on during the course of the show. That's in the current affairs segment. You should listen to his ideas. He has some part of it that may be acceptable to some people and some other part of it that you would also would want to wonder about. But let's get your calls in as we start to get into some of the... Wait, I've not read messages. No calls yet. Hold on for a moment. Let's read what you've written in. Good morning, Adjoa Info. Governor Tambu of visited Buhari concerning insecurity in Sokoto State. Yes, like other governors that visited without results, why can't they change their tactics? What are you doing since you entered into office and you're getting positive results? Why can't you change your approach? Buhari can't visit the families of terrorist victims. Yes, if this is the way to prove that you are a good leader, maybe Nigeria never got this kind. Maybe Nigeria never get this kind of leadership again. Okudiri Okonkwo from Silija put up that message as its own challenge. Steve from Cooper says, good morning, FMD. Why do they like deceiving themselves? The visitation of the president by governors has not stopped any insecurity challenge. The authorities making business from insecurity. The blood of innocent and helpless Nigerians are being shed every day and are crying to God for vengeance on those making money from insecurity. There's something fishy. Please tell them to remember Hebrews 9 verses 27. Everyone will die one day and face the judgment of God. Steve from Cuba did write the team. Here we go. Another message. Bucci from Duse says, Buhari doesn't need to start to visit visiting anywhere now. He never did visit victims when it was in Benue, Taraba, Plateau, and other places when the terrorists were doing target practice in those places. Buhari should relax in Asuruk and watch the action, and the Senate should forget about the Electoral Act instead. Quickly amend the constitution for Buhari to overcome. Okay, to become president for life, you're suggesting. And then you go and say the constitution should be amended to let... No. Put you calm down now. Yeah, it's no sense telling, I cannot read this. You go on to allude about life and death in this, so it's not something I can read, okay? Oya Kachi from Cuba says, good morning, Femi. Talking of tax increment next year by the federal government, please, Femi D, does this government have the interest of masses at all? Since they came on board, virtually everything has increased astronomically beyond 100%. We're buying a model of Gary for 250 naira, but today it's over 400 naira. We're buying a bag of rice for 8,500 naira, but today it's over 26,000 naira. What fuel, gas, and common water? Can someone who is on minimum wage of 30,000 naira afford a bag of rice? Please, they should not kill the common people with their taxes. Oyekachi from Cuba writes that in. Good morning, FMD. Good morning, Nigerian. For the fact is that we lack leaders with ideology. Those people talking about the legacies of Nnamdi Azikiwe and Obafemi Awolowo are just lamenting and complaining. They should stop and put their brains to work. My name is Romanus Wisdom from Kubwa. Good morning, FMD. Yes. So basically, these people echo general popular sentiments, and automatically we are presented as deserving of the Messiah or Savior position. Obviously, Kano and a few others also fall into this group. It's now becoming obvious that it is a tactic, and it is not good enough for people. I think a more effective metric should be an evaluation of their respective documented roadmaps, what and how, and tied to measurable timelines and consequences. Marcus from Kubwa writes that in as well. All right, interesting thoughts from you with regards to this. Okay, well, so much can be said about different ideas here and there being shared. Good morning, Nigeria. For expanding tax net to incorporate those who are not paying taxes is not a burden on Nigerians. It's only those that make money that pay tax. And as a public servant, I pay tax and it's deducted from SARS. So every Nigerian that makes money legitimately must pay tax too. Whatever the source is provided, it is legitimate, it goes on to say. Whatever your business is in UK, you must pay tax, okay? All right, thanks for this. I'm pressed for time. Iris from Garkidi, write that in. Let's go on a commercial break, okay? And then the news update will follow through right here. This is Morning Crossfire right here on Nigerian Info.